I'm Chris Cordani. This is Book Spectrum. Welcome to the program. We have writer, television personality, and award-winning journalist Anne Marie Hancock. She's talking with me about her new book. It's a different kind of thing because you might think it might be a little of a sad story, but it's not, and we're going to get into that. It's called You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. It's one about life, caring for one's parent, second chances, and how personal and spiritual growth can happen for people of any age. Anne Marie Hancock, welcome to Book Spectrum.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I'm absolutely delighted to be here with you. I'm particularly excited about chatting with a friend today. This is so nice.
And as I said before, Anne Marie, the title, You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral, it's not a sad story. It's a story of love, and actually the car is funny. We're going to get into that because that's kind of the funny part of the story anyway. But it's kind of a variation of what a longtime business show host has said on the air. You can't take your money with you after you pass on. The point is, the point is there, Anne Marie. We need to cherish the people who are important to us while we're here.
There's no question that we do. And I'm so happy that you mentioned this is not a sad book. It's received lots of 5-star ratings. And the number one thing that they mention after spirituality is the fact that it's humorous, because without a sense of humor, it's very difficult, Chris, to survive caring for a very complex person. We all have one in our lives that, without exception, could be a boss, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, but we all have one. And one thing that needs to be noted is that stress changes the chemical structure of the cells. This has been noted by the Mayo Clinic in almost every major medical university. That being the case, we don't need more disease in this world. So we need to learn to cope with stress and complex people, be they those suffering with a terminal disease or just in the office every day. And for me, spirituality, I mentioned, is at the top of my list, and a sense of humor. I'm very funny.
That's right. As a matter of fact, we should all be able to make fun of ourselves, Anne Marie, because my motto is, if you can't laugh at yourself, I'll do it for you.
Oh, I love that. I'd love to share a couple stories from the book just to give folks an idea. And if they're sitting there thinking, I don't need a dirge during the holiday season. No, you don't. I don't either. Maybe if I share these stories, it'll help you. One in particular I remember, we called, my mom is Irish. And she's very strong-willed, and I have beautiful, beautiful friends, and we decided to take her to lunch. She said it's a great idea. The next day, I called to confirm and tell her what time we were picking her up. She said, I'm not going. I said, you're not going. Coco will be here shortly. Nope, not today. I said, are you all right? Are you feeling well? Mom had terminal cancer. And yeah, I'm fine. Not coming. Long story short, Coco said, let's get you out, because this was a 3-year journey, which was very challenging with mom and with cancer. So we head down to this place mom loved where they had French onion soup. We had a delightful lunch. We're leaving. And my friend Coco looks across the parking lot and she says, isn't that your mother coming out of the Taco Bell?
Taco Bell?
I looked and I couldn't believe it, Chris. At the top of the list here, and what needs to really be mentioned, is mom's license plate, which all ties into the title of the book. Mom's license plate was perfect. P-R-R-F-C-T. So it's kind of unmistakable. And I looked, and surely enough, here's the little red Toyota with the perfect license plate pulling out of the Taco Bell. So obviously she blew us off for a taco.
You know what? If I'm 90, if I'm in my 90s in terminal, and I want Taco Bell, I'm going to have Taco Bell, okay? Same thing with scotch, same thing with anything else, because I want my Taco Bell. You never know, the place might be closed. If I planned on having Taco Bell and my daughter is telling me, now I know my daughter loves me, okay? And says, oh, Chris, I want to take you to a really nice restaurant, but I want my Taco Bell.
Exactly. All Mom had to say was, you know, I'd rather have a taco. But instead, I think it was more than that, Chris. She loved her independence. Her car was her ticket to independence and to freedom. And, you know, cars are very symbolic in psychology and dream interpretation. Cars are always taking us to someplace or some goal or away from. And for Mom, the car was always Mom's ticket to freedom. She renewed her license at 90 years old. We sat down and we discussed with her the possibility of not doing that and letting the family help her out, telling her it was her turn, which it really was. Let us help you. And she said, absolutely not. I need my freedom. I need my license. So I get the call one morning, and she's whispering, and it's early in the morning. And she says, I did it. I said, you did what? Where are you? I'm at Motor Vehicle. I got my license.
All right.
I said, OMG, Mom, did you have to drive or park? No, I just had to read the first three lines of the eye chart. And I did well. I said, are you going home now? She said, no, I'm going to Walmart. She loved Walmart. She would buy something one day. It was just 5 minutes from her home. And then she'd take it back the next day.
Anne Marie Hancock is with me on Book Spectrum. The book is called, the title is of the book, that is, You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. I find myself rooting for your mother. I'm telling you, I find myself finding her as the hero of the book in a way. But let's put this in perspective. My last name is Cordani, so I should know as much as you do. You have the Irish mom. I have the Italian grandma. The Irish grandmas and the Italian grandmas run the family. So let's put that in a perspective. No one wants to lose their independence, especially the boss of the family.
Well, I certainly agree with that, but realistically speaking, Chris, we all come to a point in our lives where we need help. And Mom was truly at that point, and we had total respect for her wishes, her desires. She wanted to drive that car. A lot of people have said to me, don't you care, or didn't you care about all the other people on the road? And I answered that question, I guess, with humor, too, because you don't know until you've walked in someone else's shoes, and everybody will be there. Everybody. No exceptions. And yes, I was aware of that. And yes, we tried to discourage that. But we are an Irish family. You pointed that out well. And we have a ton of faith. And we're big prayer warriors. And speaking of the Irish, there was another morning with Mom, which was particularly memorable, Chris. We were, I thought, on our way to her GP. And obviously we weren't, because we head down Charter Colony in Virginia, a main thoroughfare there. And she says, Anne, you're a moron. I said, what did you say? Anne, you're a moron. I said, a little rough, but, you know, Irish. So I pulled over to the side of the road, and I said, Mama, is there a problem? She said, yes, you're going the wrong way. Today we're going to another doctor. And I said, Mama, listen to me. I went to Ireland. You wanted me to go to Ireland and track down relatives and ancestors. I tracked down our name, and we made a complete circle of Ireland, asking constantly, do you know the Morans? Do you know the Morans? My mother was a Moran. Her mother was from Ireland, the Morans. People looked puzzled everywhere we went. And finally, this one gentleman says, "Spell it." I said, "M-O-R-A-N." He goes, "Honey, that's moron. You're morons." I looked at Mom and I said, "You know what, Mama? We're all morons in this family."
I want to not gloss over this, though, Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
You just said you made the trip to Ireland with your mom to track down relatives.
Right.
This is a story, you can't drive your car to your funeral, is a story about your relationship with your mom. And a lot of that got closer, the trip and driving her around and taking care of her. It also rekindled your mother-daughter relationship, and you had adventures.
We did. We had so many adventures, Chris. But I think there's a lot to be said about a role reversal when the daughter or the son becomes the father, the daughter becomes the mother. Mom was often in pain and suffering. And because of that, what often happens, and it even happens when people aren't sick, when they are threatened or in a place of fear, they strike out. Do they mean to hurt? No. No, they don't. It is a commentary on their own frustration. It is a commentary on their own inability to express their pain, their fear. We tend to take things personally, Chris, and as a media person, most of my life, you hear absolutely everything, and you must discipline yourself to tune out. And what I learned over a period of years, which was, let me interject, more difficult in the family situation. The family is a different ball game. And initially, when Mom would say things like I had just shared with you, "You're a moron," you know, I'd think, oh, I could feel it in my gut, right? That's the seat of the emotions. I could
exactly
feel it.
Yes.
But as time went on, you know, you mentioned, I believe, Chris, you know, I took her to CAT scans, dental appointments, doctor appointments, to the hospitals, to the GPs. You get no prize for it. That's what we do when we love. If our love is sincere, it's a personal, it's an intimate relationship. And I took that on. But you don't get a prize for doing the right thing. But what I did learn was my mom really became the child. And I could look in those beautiful Irish eyes and I could see the pain. I could see the fear. My father, who played tennis 3 times a week at 88, dropped dead during this whole process. It was a shock, a stunning shock to everybody. Mom really didn't talk about it much. She didn't talk about the cancer. She never used the word cancer. She kept saying she'd see a chiropractor in the spring. So what did I come to see? I came to see a woman that I was with most days for 3 years, who was in a total for maybe the first time in her life, because she was very bold and courageous, in a state of fear. But she was reverting constantly back to that old role where I am in control and I call the shots. When indeed the time came, she was much too weak to call those shots. And so we were in a position where we had to make some decisions. She had cellulitis. She had a heart attack in the middle of all this. And it's extremely important here that I mention this. She didn't reach me on the phone when she dialed. I was probably out in the yard or doing something, I don't know. But she called my sister, who works at a hospital. She said this, "I'm having a heart attack. Come and get me."
At least she was mentally strong enough to do that.
It's amazing. Amazing. Strong-willed. My sister said, "No, you call an ambulance," you know, realizing she might not get there in time.
Right.
And my mother said, "You come and get me now. I do not want the neighbors talking about my business." And I think there's something else that's key that I learned here. And that's caretaking, too. The word maybe that's appropriate is generational.
There we go.
You know,
yeah. A lot of the older generation is mindful of this stuff. Also,
they're very private.
And maybe a little distrust with the medical industry, too.
Well, it's both. In one sense, Chris, I think they grew up with doctor worship, which we've gotten away from today. You know, we have so many lawsuits and so many things happening in the medical profession, and people go to the hospital with something minor, they get a staph infection, and they die. So what am I saying? I'm saying I think they were more trusting than, you know, your doctor was your God. He had the answers. My take on it, and my husband was in the medical profession for many years and had several medical companies, is you pay these people for an educated guess. An educated guess. Just as you pay the painter for his art, just as you pay the plumber for his expertise in fixing things, is that to say they always do it right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that is something that needs to be considered. My mom had a 14-hour surgery at a hospital. 14 hours. Think about that at her age. Her head was wrapped in a turban. Only her eyes, nose, and mouth were exposed. She had tubes coming out of her neck and in the front, in the chest. I stayed the night with her. And at 5, 6 in the morning, the doctor comes in and says to my mother, "Are you ready to come home?" I, from the corner, said, "Absolutely not." Which is something else that we need to talk about. When you have someone sick, Chris, you need to be an advocate. Do not leave elderly sick people in the hospital that can't talk for themselves, that can't express themselves. They need an advocate. That's very, very important.
That's very true, too. They need somebody from the family or somebody they can trust to speak for them.
Exactly.
When it comes to these situations, that's extremely important. Anne Marie Hancock is with me. She is the author of You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. We talked about your mother, Anne Marie, but what about you? What was going through your mind when you found that your mother developed cancer?
You know, Chris, it was shocking to me. Why? Because my mother was a nurse, okay? And her cancer was squamous cell, and it began as a tiny dot on her forehead, which we asked about in April of the year that she was diagnosed. She told us to basically mind our own business. A family member was married 4 months later, and the wedding pictures reflect a huge bandage on her forehead. At that time, one family member who is much bolder than the rest said, "Take that bandage off. We want to see what's underneath." Well, it was unbelievable. Mom then went to the surgeon, and that squamous cell cancer had gone to her brain. It had cracked her spine, and it was absolutely, positively a death, a diagnosis that shouldn't have happened. But I think there's great fear for all of us, not just Mom, of the unknown, Chris. Great fear of the unknown. No one knows what death is like or has come back to really sit down and say, okay, let me tell you, this was a piece of cake, or, hey, this wasn't what I thought. Unfortunately, that doesn't really happen. And only one person is taking that journey at a time. And for my mother, it was my mother taking the journey. So while I had, you asked, all kinds of feelings, compassion, sympathy, love, only Mom was the one taking that journey. But I've got to tell you, there is not one of us that is going to escape that journey. So for me, this was a learning experience. It was very personal. I loved her. I loved her deeply. And we had, Mom was not a person to say, I love you. That wasn't her style. She'd buy you a new pair of socks. And so we had one moment for one of these surgeries when she was there for overnight and I stayed. I couldn't sleep. I was just watching her. And this, again, was like watching a small child. It was like a total role reversal. You know, I'm asking the doctor the questions. I'm running in and out for the medication, and Mom was totally helpless. And somewhere during that night, she grabbed my hand. I was right at the side of the bed. And I could see her eyes with those bandages, that turban around her head. And she said, you know, Ann, you're very nice to me. You're very good to me. I love you. And I hold that in my heart today as I talk to you.
Ann Marie Hancock is with me on Book Spectrum. The book, once again, is You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral. You weren't going to write this book, actually, Ann Marie. You kept a journal of your time taking care of your mom, but again, not with the intent of publishing. Why did you turn your journal into a book, and why did you want people to read into your time with your mother, your relationship with her, and the journey that she took after having terminal cancer?
I'm so happy you asked that. So happy you asked that. I've spent several years of my life with the sick and the terminally ill, Chris. I had a healing ministry that was international, and I thought I had learned a lot of stuff. How about that? A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
But the journey with my mom, there were so many new lessons. Swallowing a pill, not taking things personally, forgiveness at a new level. Unforgiveness binds us. It binds us. Not them, us. You've got to forgive. You can't hold comments in your heart, in your head. It's unhealthy. New lessons. That's what I'm telling you. Lots of new lessons for a woman who has spent years all over the world with the sick and with sick children that are terminally ill. My mom taught me new lessons, and I know there are lessons and a walk that everybody's going to have to take, and they needed to be shared. And I want to say, too, when you read it, obviously, Chris, you know, we've had a tough walk. My heart stopped at age 50. I've lost a child, and I'm still here. I'm happy. I'm cheerful. I'm positive. I love life. I celebrate life. Every morning I get up and I summon with total commitment my gift of joy from God. And I want people to know that it doesn't end with sickness, with suffering, with pain. It doesn't end with challenging people. Don't take things personally. They're not intended that way. They're not intended that way. See God in every person. God doesn't make junk. Look for the good in each day. When I sat down and I reread my own journal, I wept like a baby for what I walked through and what I survived and what my mom survived. And the lesson was, you can too.
I want to add this, Anne-Marie. All the proceeds from this book, You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral, will benefit the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. And there's a reason for that, a very special reason to you.
Yes, I'm so happy you mentioned that, Chris. I cannot tell you how passionate I am about this book getting out there to help other people, because the content affects everybody without exception. But for me, I have an incredible daughter who has suffered with multiple sclerosis for more than 20 years. Corey can't walk. She has been championed by people like Mike Krzyzewski, the winningest coach in basketball in the country, who comes, of course, from Duke. Mike met her some years ago, and he was amazed by her dignity and her grace and the fact that she gives this disease no energy. He calls her a Hall of Famer, and she is. And I decided this time, this book, to protect the purity of intention, I want every penny going to multiple sclerosis. So when you purchase You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral, you're not only learning some valuable lessons that you can use in your own life, but you are helping everyone who suffers with this hideous disease. So I am grateful in advance to anybody and everybody listening to your show. Share it with your friends. Share it with your non-friends. Share it with everybody. And let's give multiple sclerosis a big punch in the nose.
I agree, Anne-Marie. And it's very important to find a cure to MS. It's been difficult, at least over the last many decades. There have been better treatments, but a cure is still quite elusive.
Yes, it is. And our daughter, Corey, she was an equestrian. She was a champion tennis player. She was an athlete. She won the Bill Davies Award in high school, playing five sports, lettered in all of them. And this is a child who, with dignity and grace, smiles through every day, participates in everything, does not give this disease a name, but is out there inspiring people constantly. I tell the story about her going to Lourdes. I was in the hospital at the time, and a friend of mine took her to Lourdes in France. And there were people that watched Corey's husband picking her up and pushing her in her vehicle up the hill to make the Stations of the Cross. These were people who came for their own healing from cancer and different terminal diseases. And they came to my friend that night in France at Lourdes and said, I have had my healing. Watching that man care for that beautiful girl, watching him both carry her, walk with her, and push her up that hill, making the Stations, I am healed. Corey is an inspiration, as Mike Krzyzewski says, to everybody.
Caregiving is something that sometimes families are thrust into. They're not always ready for it. I see you were ready for it with your mother, in a way, because you have been giving care for all these years. But somebody picks up your book right now and says, I'm really enjoying this, Anne-Marie, but what would you tell me, because my mother's sick, or my daughter is sick, or my son is coming down with a terminal disease, and I need to take care of him or her. What do I do? What's the first thing I should be getting ready for?
What you need is to be you. That's what they look for. They don't want a new person. They don't want a person that's read a bunch of books and is lecturing. Nobody likes that. Be yourself. Be loving. And get on your knees every morning, every night. and thank God for the opportunity to serve. Count your blessings, not your challenges. Have faith and keep a sense of humor. Look for the joy, the positive, and the humorous in life.
And again, a very important aspect, Anne-Marie, of your book is that it's not about sadness and mourning. It's about celebrating one's life and cherishing it. It's about the joys of caregiving and the tough times it takes too, but it's also about rekindling a loving relationship between a mother and daughter. And there are a lot of stories that are just plain downright funny, and it shows you can have a sense of humor and fun when you're doing something as important and as tough and stressful as caregiving.
I am a richer, better person. The people I have been privileged to serve, Chris, have made me better than I am. It's a grace and a blessing to be able to serve. I wake up every morning and, you know, there's a prayer I say, it's merciful God. I entrust the souls of all those that have departed and are suffering to your fatherly care. I pray they've received the promise of heaven and experience eternal joy in your presence. Give courage and faith to the suffering and to those who suffer with them. And may we all one day be reunited in the warm embrace of your love.
Finally, Anne-Marie, we can all find ourselves on either end of this story. And that's another very important point of the book. We can be on either end, the caregiver or the care receiver. What did
right.
you learn most from your mom? And what did she learn most from you during your time together as covered in the book?
I think, let's start with mom. I think mom learned that my love was unconditional, no matter what she said, no matter what she did. Bringing books for her to read that she said, get them out of here. That my love was unconditional, that you can smile through it all, and mom saw that I could. And I think that's the big thing there. And for me, I learned that I could do things, rise above things that I really didn't think I could. Criticism. Oh, God, you brought that chicken salad again. I'm so tired of chicken salad. I can't believe you brought that again.
It's healthy.
Calling me for what was deemed an emergency. I go running and she needed Chinese food. I bring it back to the house and she said, oh, good, I have company coming tonight. Learning to laugh. I learned to laugh so much at her, at myself. I learned to laugh. I learned to swallow criticism. I learned not to take it personally. And I learned and asked God all the time, help me when I'm walking this walk to be kind, to be compassionate, to be grateful to caregivers, and respectful that there are boundaries. Help me to remember to let them talk and just be there. We don't have to talk all the time. Sometimes just sitting, being company is enough. And when you do it, and you do it with purpose and joy, there are many, many lessons. You don't have to learn anything. You don't have to do anything that you haven't done before. Just be you and practice love each day and ask God. Don't be ashamed. Even if you haven't talked to him before, just say, God, I know you're up there. You know what I'm walking right now. Help me. Help me. And watch what happens. Because without my faith, we mentioned it before, Chris. I've lost a child. My heart stopped at age 50. We are challenged by Corey's suffering, my mother, my father passing, and we'll all be there. This is not a pity pot thing. But thank God for blessings. Thank Him for the opportunity to serve. And ask Him. Just say, help me to speak as you would speak, to hear as you would hear, and to act as you would act.
Anne Marie Hancock, thank you for talking with us on Book Spectrum. Where can our listeners find out more about You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Funeral and information on you?
Ah, thank you, Chris. Anyone can go to my website. It's very easy. It's simply authorannemariehancock.com. There are excerpts from the book. Mike Krzyzewski's comments and letter about Corey is there. There are media interviews there. There is information about purchasing. You can go to Amazon right now and do it. Please, please do it for Corey and everyone like her, for multiple sclerosis, and for yourself. Amazon.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble and say, order this for me. And I hope you will.
The book is titled You Can't Drive Your Car to Your Own Funeral by Anne Marie Hancock, our guest on Book Spectrum. The proceeds from the book are going to the Multiple Sclerosis Society. Check out our website, bookspectrum.com, for more information and links to Anne Marie's website, the MS Society, and the book.